Begin the current Daf Masech to cite the Daf Chav Ches. We begin on the bottom line of Daf Chav Zayin Mabez, where the Gemara begins to explain the Mishnah of our Perek. The Mishnah opened up with the halacha that Kashem Shemayim Boitken Oisa, just like we know as we've been explaining this Masechta, that the Meisaita, the Saita waters that the suspected adulterous woman drinks, inspects her. If she was Mezana, then she has all the consequences that happen. And if not, then she has actually positive consequences that happen. So the Mishnah said, just like it inspects her, so too it inspects him. Asks the Gemara, oisai, when it says him, laman, who's that a reference to? As the Gemara explains, ilim labal, if it's a reference to her husband, then the question is, balmayavid, what did the husband do? What does it mean that's inspecting him? He's not in question. The question is regarding his wife. She was warned, and she secluded with the man, and now we have reason to believe she did something inappropriate, so she's being inspected. So who's him that's also is going to be checking him when she drinks the water? If it's the husband, what did he do wrong? Now says the Gemara v'chitem, and if you're going to say, as we continue on top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph, that it is a reference to the husband, and that is di'i is bei avin, because if he also sinned, specifically is that if after he warned his wife, and she secluded, which then actually she's forbidden to her husband based on the halachic principles of Saita Safik, still in spite of that he went and he cohabited with her after that, which is sinful for him, for the husband. Then Badki Le Maya, then that's what the reference of the Mishnah Salocha is, that just like it's going to inspect her if she had done wrong, then it's going to inspect him, and actually he's going to have the same physical consequences like her. But on that, the Gemara says you can't say that, because ki is bay oven bidi day, because when he actually also sinned in regards to cohabitation, meaning with his suspected adulterous wife after she had already secluded, then actually mi bakula mai lidida, then actually does the whole water even work in its investigation? In other words, to say that, oh, he also did bad, so just like it's going to do its work on her, it's going to do its work on him. On that, the Gemara says you can't say that, because yes, although that would be a good example of him sinning too, but then actually the water, not only would it not inspect him, it wouldn't even be inspecting her. Because what Tanya Litton Abraisa says, the Pasuk tells us, v'niko ha'ish mi'avin, meaning if the husband is responsible, and he goes through the whole procedure of Saita Safik, where if his wife did this and he has to report her and bring her up to the high courts, so then the husband will be cleansed from sin, and v'ha'ishta hi'ti says avin, whereas his wife will carry her sin. So that explains the Braisa, that the Pasuk is connected. And that is, Bismancha ish menukami oven, at the time when the husband is cleansed from sin. In other words, if he didn't cohabit with her from the time that she became forbidden to him, meaning after she had already been secluded, then is what the Pasuk says, Ha'isha hiti savayna, that the woman's going to carry her sin, meaning then ha'mayim boitken nesishle, then the water's going to inspect and work in the consequences in the woman. But Eina Ish Menukum Ovim, it tells us the Braisa, if the husband's not cleansed from sin, meaning because he did cohabit with her after she had already been secluded, then Eina Mayin Baitin Nezisha, then the water doesn't even inspect her. So we're back to the question. When it says the water's going to be, just like it's checking her, it's going to check him, who's the him? Can't be the husband, because even in the situation when he sinned and it would make sense they would check him just like her, actually then it doesn't even check her. As we learned, the whole checking of her, the water doing something to her body, is only when he's cleansed from sin and not when he also sinned. So rather the Gemara concludes, rather the him that we're saying it's going to be checking is just like the woman who was unfaithful, the man that she was unfaithful with is going to get the same physical consequences like the woman. Now that the Gemara asks, if so, then listening, then the Mishnah should have explicitly said that Keshem Shamayim Boitkin Oisa, just like the water checks her. So it should have said, Kach Boitkin Es HaBoil. It should have explicitly said, so too, the water checks the Boil, the adulterer. Kedetani Seifa, like we learned later, the next halacha in the Mishnah says, Keshem Shasur Labal. There another halacha in the halacha of Saita is that, just like she then becomes forbidden to her husband, Kach Asur LaBoil, so too, she becomes forbidden to the man that she had an extramarital relationship with. Now, there it doesn't say that so too, kacha sura loy, that so too becomes forbidden to him, and that we have to guess that him means the bayil. It says explicitly the word bayil. So why over here in this halacha, didn't it say, why say, I saw him, and like we have to guess who it is? Say, just like the water checks her, so too checks the bayil. As we see that terminology is used in the next halacha, that just like she's forbidden to her husband from now on because of what she had done as a nation's ish, so too she's forbidden to the Baal. So now the Gemara answers, it's not difficult. La'ilum la'boil, truth is, as we said, that the reference here of who it's also being baidik is the boil. But v'reisha, I did the tana oisa, since the first opening halacha in the Mishnah, it used the word har, meaning didn't say the woman's name. It's talking about a pronoun over here of har, so tani oisai, so that's why it says har and him. But it's a reference to the baal. Whereas seifa, but in the next halacha, I did the tana baal, since it uses the term of husband, so tani baal, therefore it uses the term with similar terminology of baal, a reference to the adulterer. But again, that's what the halacha of our Mishnah is saying, is just like it checks out har, it checks out the baal. So the Gemara quotes that the Mishnah said, and Shinema, what's the source of this halacha? How do we know that not only is it checking her body, it's checking his body? Because it says in the pasuk, uvo, uvo. Ibayilhu. The Gemara had the following question on this source of this halacha, which is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva mentioned in our Mishnah. Ba'u uvo kamar? What is it that we're learning out from this word uvo? Is it from the extra vav there in the pasuk that's telling us that, oh, it could have just said ba'u, that a water comes in and it checks, or why say, and it comes in, uvo. Oh, the extra vav is coming to tell us to include not only checking har, but it's going to check the bail too. Oi, uvo, uvo, kama. Or is it the redundancy, because it doesn't just say one time in the Torah that the water is coming into her. It says it another time that the water comes into her. Vo. So is it the one word that has in that word an extra vav? Or is it actually the word vo is referenced not only one time in the parasha of Tzaita, but it's mentioned two times, and the extra time is coming to tell us the bail. What's the source of this halacha, the vav or the extra word? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah tells us the next halacha is, as we just mentioned before, says, Keshem Shasu Labal. Just like the woman now becomes forbidden to her husband as an Ashes Ish that she was Mezana. Kachasu Labal. So too, she's forbidden from now on with the man that had caused this disruption in the relationship, which is this adulterer. Shenema says, Rabbi Kiva, what's the source of this halacha? Nitma v'nitma, which is, seemingly, that we see that it's Rabbi Kiva, that how does he learn up these drushes, including the bail, is from the extra letter of the vav, where it could have just said nitma, she's tame, and it says v'nitma, and she's tame. Why the extra vav? Tells us to include not only that she's considered impure and defiled for her husband, but even for the bail. So therefore that tells us that when he says the drusha of uvo, it's a reference to the extra vav. But says the Gemara, Vadain, but actually, in this halacha itself, Tibai, you could still actually ask and say that not necessarily. Even in this next halacha, Nitma, Nitma Kamar, maybe the source of Rabbi Kiva for this halacha, that just like a woman now becomes forbidden to her husband, so to the Bayal, is actually the redundancy, because it says more than one time in the parasha the word Nitma, that she's impure. So from the extra word, maybe there it's a reference. Oi, Nitma v'nitma kama. Or maybe, it's not clear, maybe it's because that it says Nitma, and then it says v'nitma, so maybe it's the extra vav that's telling us. So it's not clear what is exactly the drasha, even from this one, to prove regarding uvo for the first halacha, so it's still not a conclusive answer to tell us what's the approach of Rabbi Kiva, that learns out that just like it checks her, it checks him from the word uvo, which we thought it would tell us from the next drasha that he tells us, that Keshem Shasu Labal Kachasur Labal, and nothing more says, not necessarily. Because maybe this Nitma v'nitma, it could be the Vav, or it could be the extra time that it says during the Torah. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a conclusive raya from our Mishnah. Meniktani Seifa, meaning for the next part of this halacha in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yoimi, he says a different approach for this halacha. He says, Shnei Pa'am Amurim B'Parsha V'Nitma V'Nitma. He says, not like you, Rabbi Kiva, I know this halacha of the woman being forbidden not only to her husband, but also to the Baal, from the fact that it says it twice in the Torah that she becomes defiled. Why twice? Echelabal, the Echelabal, to tell you that one time she's also to the husband, and to tell you another time because that she's also forbidden to the Baal. And that the Gemara concludes, Mechlal, Rabbi Kiva, Vavi Kedosha. Obviously, Rabbi Kiva was not saying, because it says it twice in the Torah, because that's exactly what Rebbe's coming to say to argue in them, must be that Rabbi Kiva was saying from the one word itself, that it could have said nitma, instead it said vinitma, which is the extra vav. So we see that Rekiva knows these halachas of including the bail from the extra vav. And therefore when he says the halacha that just like it checks her, it checks him, the bail, that it's going to do the physical ramifications, is from the extra letter vav, from avo, and not the fact that it was repeated more than once, the word avo itself, in the parasha of Saita. So therefore it tells us the Gemara Hilkach. Therefore, what comes out is Rebbe Kiva Shita Kroi Ksiv. It comes out that according to Bekiva, essentially, there's what we're calling, quote, psukim. There's six psukim, six references over here in the parasha of Saita. Meaning, it says three times the word, and we're going back to this halacha that we mentioned about how the water checks the woman's body, which is the first halacha in our Mishnah. Just like it checks her body, it checks his body. The word uvo, essentially, we have six references of this word uvo. Because it says three times uvo, and again, as we explained in Koran Trebekiva, the extra letter vav creates another reference, as if it says another reference of uvo. So you have those three times, plus another three times of the vavs. So you have where it says, uvo hamayim hama'orim o'eilo b'ma'ayich litzos batin. It says one time that she was notified, which as we're going to see in the Gemara, as it's going to be explained, the six references, where that she should know, and that everyone should know, that first the stomach's going to bloat, and then the thighs are going to collapse. And the reason why that's necessary for this announcement to be made is because that it shouldn't, people shouldn't make rumors, because there is another reference where it's told in the other order. And that's only because that's how she had sinned, which was first with the thighs and then with the stomach. Therefore, there has to be a notification to say, just want you to know, when you're going to get this consequence is actually going to be from the stomach and then the thighs. A second time that it says this word uvo, it says v'hishka se'ishtes me'amorim ha'ma'orim uvo bo'hamayim, etc. That's for what's called the tzava, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed and commanded that this is what the bitter water should do to her. And the third time where it says v'hishka se'amayim, that she's going to drink the water, v'hisa nitma, and that if she's tamei, where it has the reference of uvo over there in the pasuk, that's for the actual asiya. I mean, this is where the pasuk tells the Jewish people that he's guaranteeing, it's like the haftacha, it's saying that this is what's going to happen, that the water is going to check her. Now, again, where it says these three times uvo, it also has, they have, it doesn't say vo, it says uvo, has the extra vav, which, so therefore each vav is another reference, so that comes out for a total of six. So therefore explains the Gemara, according to Bekiva, you essentially have six references of the water coming into the woman's body. Why? So, cha litzava dida. One comes to tell us the Hashem's commandment in regards to the woman, meaning to say that Hashem is commanding that this is what's going to happen. And one is regarding the commandment of him, meaning that Hashem is commanding that this is what's going to happen to the Baal's body. One is talking about what's going to happen, the guarantee of what's going to happen to her body. And one is talking about where the pasuk is telling us what's going to happen to his body. And one is coming to notify us regarding that, don't worry, the order is going to be first the stomach, then the thigh of her. And one, the extra vav, is coming to tell us that regarding the notification of that also when he's going to have these ramifications, this in his body, it's going to be first in the stomach and then in his thighs. Again, these are the three elements of yediyah, tzava, and asiyah, as we explained. That's according to Rabbi Kiva. Now, but the Rabbi, but as we just proved in our Mishnah, who he doesn't expound the extra vavs, and that's why he learns out the halacha of kashim shasru labal, kachasru labayil, not from the extra vav in v'nitma, but just because it says the word nitma two times in the parasha of Saita. So t'losa kroi ksiv, according to him, you only really have three references of uvo, and they're all coming in reference to the woman, not to the bayil. Where chad letzava, one is Hashem's command, chad la'asiyah, one is talking about what actually is going to happen, and Mechalidia, one is regarding the notification that people should know that it's, and the woman should know that first it's going to happen to the stomach and then to the thighs. So therefore ask the Gemara, so the Rebbe, according to Rebbe, so Kishem Shemayim Boitkin Oysa, Kach Boitkin Oysa, so regarding this first halacha of our Mishnah, which Rebbe Kiva told us that just like the water checks him, it checks her. So according to Rebbe Kiva, we know that because of the extra letter Vav, but according to Rebbe Minale, where does he know this from? Because there's the three references of Avo are needed to tell us regarding her. Tzava, Asiya, there's Tzava, and there's Asiya, and there's the idea. But regarding the Bail, how do we know that it's going to do that to him too? So the Gemara says, Nafkele Meditan, he learns it out from a different source, as we learn in the Braisa. The Pasuk tells us, Latzvais Betin, V'lan Pol Yarech, that the stomach is going to bloat, and the thighs are going to collapse. Now, on that says the Braisa, and this is the source of Rebbe's halacha, bitnei v'yirich shabayil. That's a reference to the stomach and the thighs of the adulterer, not to the woman. So that the Braisa explains. Ata'ayim bitnei v'yirich shabayil. Is it really a reference to the thighs and the stomach of the bayil? So maybe it's only, as seemingly the whole parasha is talking about, the stomach and the thigh of the woman that he had cohabited with. Now that says the Brisa, no, because Kishu Omer, because when another pasuk says Vitzivsa bitna v'nafli yirecha, it says that her stomach will bloat and her thighs will fall. So Hari bitna v'yirecha shal nevela sama. So we already have a pasuk already telling us this, that it's going to happen to her. So Amani mekayim litzvis bet v'yampol yarech. So what is this other pasuk? What is that referencing to? Must be referencing bitna v'yirecha shal boil, a reference to the stomach and to the thighs of the boil. And that's how Rebbe knows this halacha, that just like the water checks her, so too it checks him. Now, that's how the Gemara says, but v'idach, but Rebbe Kiva, who he obviously doesn't need that pasuk to reference him, because we already know that from the extra letter vav, from uvo. So how he says that pasuk is telling us, the moida la koyin, that pasuk is just saying that the koyin notifies her, the beten bereish of hadu yarech, that first it's going to happen to your stomach and then to your thighs. And as we mentioned this before, now why was it necessary for the koyin to tell her this? We already know that this is going to happen, but this pasuk is saying is not another reference to this happening, because that, again, we know from that other pasuk, it's that the kohen is telling her that this is what's going to happen in this order. And the reason is, shalei lo hitzi laz al amayim hamarim, so that there shouldn't be rumors regarding this bitter waters. And the reason being, as we mentioned before, is because in the curses, when he tells her, because of all your bad things you've done, this is what you're going to get, he first mentions that esirechich nefeles, that your thighs are going to collapse. And then he tells her that your stomach is going to bloat. Now, however, the truth is that ultimately, actually, the water, when it inspects as it comes in, which is through the mouth, where, as the pasuk says, first her stomach bloats, and then the thighs collapse. So therefore, he had to notify her and tell her, don't worry, although in the curse, as I told you, thighs and then stomach, that was only because how you sinned. But truthfully, in the way it's going to inspect your body, it's going to be first the stomach, and then the thighs. Therefore, Rebbe Kiva doesn't have that pasuk to tell you, like Rebbe says, a reference to the boil. Rather, it's that's where the kohen's notifying her. So the Gemara says, but v'idach, but Rebbe held, im kain, if that would be the case, lichtiv kro bitna v'yarecha, if it was only the kohen notifying her that this is the order that's going to happen, so it should have said that her stomach and her thighs, my bitna v'yarech. Why does it say in this generic terminology that stomach and thighs, shema min elabayel? Obviously, it's coming to reference, it's not saying in the feminine way, because it's coming to reference the masculine, the male, that the boil is also going to get this stomach bloating and the thighs collapsing. Now, that the Gemara asks, if so, ve'ema kule lahachi hudasa. So maybe say that actually the whole entire drasha, according to Rebbe, is telling us a reference to the boil. So therefore, then the question is, according to Rebbe, how do we know that the kohen notifies her that first her stomach bloats and then the thighs? Who said that that's what the pasuk is coming to say? If you're already utilizing that pasuk to say that just like it happens to her, it happens to him, and that's why it doesn't use it in this feminine terminology and rather in this non-gender-based terminology of beten and yarech. That answers the Gemara. Im kain lichtiv bitna v'yarecha. Rebbe would tell you, no. If it would only be telling us a reference to the boil also getting this punishment, it should have said in the masculine, his stomach and his thigh. My beten v'yarech. Why does it say stam, where it's not masculine or feminine? To tell you both drasha, shemam and notarti. So we learn that from there both things. One is a reference to the female and one's to the male. One is that the kohen is notifying her, look, I know I told you in the curses, thigh then stomach, but really it's stomach then thighs. And moreover, it's also coming to tell us regarding him that he's also going to have the same consequences as the female. Now, that the Gemara continues with that Mishnah, that Amr Bishua, he said, Kacha Yedirish Zecharya V'chulu. So too, Zecharya had darshaned this idea, like Rebbe Kiva, and that is that the extra vav of Venitma comes to tell you that just like she's forbidden to the Baal, so too she's forbidden to the boil. Again, not like Rebbe, who didn't learn it from the extra vav, but rather he learned it from the extra word itself of, it says more than once, the word Venitma. So now the Gemara expounds on this from the Braisa regarding how many times it says benitma, and what do we darshan from there? Because as we see, there are differences in the drashas of that, where Rebbe Kiva and Zechariah ben Akatzev, they expounded the letter vav from benitma, whereas Rebbe doesn't, as we see, he doesn't darshan vavs, but rather he expounds how many times it says the word nitma. So how many times does it say, and what do we use that to darshan? So Tarabon, when the Braisa, Shalish Pamim Hamur Beparsha. It says three times in the Parsha of Saita, the reference of Nitma, that she becomes impure, defiled. It says Im Nitma, it says Nitma, and it says V'Nitma. And these are three psukim where one pasuk is V'kinyas Ishtei V'hi Nitma. He warned his wife and she became Tameh. Another reference is, it says V'haisa Im Nitma, that it's going to be if she became Tameh. And another one is Tachas Isha V'Nitma, that she strayed from beneath her husband and she became Tameh. So on that says the Braisa Lama, why does it say three times the reference of her becoming Tameh? Says the first opinion, Echad Labal, one's a reference to the husband that she's forbidden to. V'echad Labal, and one is a reference that she's Tameh, she's forbidden to the adulterer. And V'echad L'Truma, and one is a reference that now she's forbidden as a Tameh to Truma, meaning even if she was a daughter of a Kohen, and the Bia she had was to a Kohen, doesn't make a difference. She now became someone that's considered Tameh, and she's forbidden to partake from Truma, Divri, Rabbi Kiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. On that, Amri Bishmol, says Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Kiva, that you don't need to bring a pasuk to tell us that she's going to be pasul from kuhuna, from being able to marry a Kohen, because that you know from a Kal Vachomer, where you know from logic, and that is Uma Grusha, because if a daughter of a Kohen who got divorced from a non-Kohen, and she doesn't have any children, where Shemuteris, Latruma, where although up until now she was forbidden to partake of Truma because she was married to a non-Kohen, but now actually, as the Pasuk tells us, Meyikrach of Beis, then Melechem of Yatoichel, she could go back eating from her father's house because now she's back single again without any children, so could she's permitted to actually partake from Truma. Yet Asur LeKohuna, but she's forbidden now to marry into Kohuna because she's what's called a Grusha. Grusha is forbidden to marry a Kohen. So if so, says Rabbi Shmuel, Zusha Asur B'Truma. So regarding this woman, regarding the Saita, who's forbidden to partake from Truma, where, as Rabbi Kiva just pointed out, because you have an extra, a third reference of Vinitma, which tells us that she's forbidden to Truma, Se'ina Din Shasur LeKohuna, so isn't a Kal Vachomer, that of course she's going to be forbidden to Kohuna, where, as we just said from the Kal Vachomer, because you have women like the Grusha, who's forbidden, she's permitted in Truma, and yet she's forbidden in Kohuna, and so therefore here this woman who's forbidden in Truma, for sure she's forbidden in Kohuna. Now, the Gemara is going to ask that Rabbi Kiva didn't even talk about this, he didn't even mention the idea about becoming pasul to Kohuna at all, that to say that you don't need a pasuk, so what was Rabbi Shmuel telling him? Rabbi Kiva didn't say that you need a pasuk, he actually didn't make a reference to that. So why is Rabbi Shmuel saying, oh, Rabbi Kiva, you don't need a pasuk, it's a Kal Vachomer. But Rabbi Kiva didn't make any reference to that. Now, the Braisa continues, which is a standalone halacha. It's a generic halacha that, just expounding another thing mentioning there in the Psukim, where the Braisa asks, Matai Malayma, what does the Pasuk teach us when it says, V'kinyas Ishtei, that if he warns his wife, V'hi Nitma, and she becomes Tamei? Now, when it says V'hi Nitma, it sounds like that she definitely became Tamei, meaning she had cohabitation with this other man as a married woman. Now, so therefore, what does the Pasuk then teach us when it continues and it says, Oyavar love, or if whatever, he has a spirit of jealousy, and Vehi Loi Nitma, and that she didn't become Tameh? As the Gemara, as the Braisa expounds the question, Im Nitma Lama Shaisa, the Pasuk says, and she became Tameh. Look, if she became Tameh, if she became defiled, if she had an extramarital relationship, and we know that, so then why is she drinking the Meisaita? And Im Loi Nitma, if she was not Tameh, as the Pasuk continues, well then Lama Mashke, then why is she drinking? In other words, either one, it sounds like that's black and white, she was Tameh. She was Tameh, then don't drink. And if she wasn't Tameh, then also don't drink. So on that explains the Braisa, Magi Lecha Akasa, what the Pasuk is coming to teach you is, Shasafik Asura, that the doubt in regarding this woman is actually makes her forbidden. In other words, the Pasuk is saying is, this woman, maybe she became Tameh, but maybe she did not become Tameh. And therefore the Pasuk is telling you, what should you do? She has to drink the Meisaita to clarify the doubt. In other words, because if you don't give her a drink, and this is the inference that the Braisa wants to tell us, that she actually now is forbidden. So it is like a definitive. But again, it's only because we don't know. Either maybe she was Tameh, or maybe she wasn't. And since we have this doubt, therefore she's actually going to be forbidden as if she was Tameh. Now, that continues the Braisa, Mekanat Adon. So from here you could learn a Kal Vachomer L'Sheretz, to the Tuma of a Sheretz, where, if we're not sure, Sheretz is one of the type of small creatures that crawl on the ground. There's eight different ones mentioned in the Torah, where we're not sure if it touched something that's pure or maybe it didn't touch, where we create a chazaka, a presumptive state, out of doubt that that thing that it touched is tame. Where we learn umasaita because if regarding the suspected adulterous woman, where we don't make a mistake that she made as if she did it deliberately, or va'ainis karatzin, or if she was coerced, we don't make it like as if she did it willingly. In other words, the pasuk says v'hiloy nitfasa, that she wasn't forced, she wasn't grabbed. Then she's forbidden to her husband, which the inference from the pasuk is if the woman was violated by another man, that she's permitted to her husband. So too when it's done by mistake, meaning if let's say a man has in the same house his wife and another married woman in the same house, and he intended to cohabit with his wife, and it was dark and he didn't realize, and he ended up cohabiting with this other married woman, and she's also unaware that this is not her husband, because she thinks it's her husband, we don't say that as if she did it b'mezid, and she's actually still permitted to her husband, not like the saita. And still, also about savik kavada, and still in spite of that, we said that when there's a doubt if she was mezan or not, we consider it like a definite, and she's forbidden to her husband until the water clarifies it. So if so, says the Brisa, a sheretz. So regarding the Tuma of a sheretz, where even if it was by mistake that the sheretz touched something that's tahar, we make it like deliberately, it doesn't make a difference, it's still going to transmit Tuma to that thing. And for Ainis Karatzin, even if it was done against the person's will, where someone threw a sheretz at him, don't throw it at me. And still, it's like it was done willingly, meaning there's going to be transmission of Tuma to that person. So Ein Adin, says the Brisa, isn't it a Kavachaymer? She asked the Beisafik that we should do the same thing over here as we continue on Tamid Beis, that a doubtful situation should be Kavadai, where if we're not sure if the Sheretz touched this object, that of course it's going to be considered Tamid as if it was definitely touched, because we learn that from Saita, where we make a Safik Kavadai, even though we don't make Einis Karatzin and Shaykh Gemezid. So by Sheretz, where we make Einis Karatzin and Shaykh Gemezid, definitely for the transmission of Tuma, we're going to create Allah of Safik Kavadai. Now, however, there's two qualifications for this Kavachemah from Sheretz from Saita. Umimakim Shabbasa says the Gemara, says the Brisa, that where did you come from? In other words, since you didn't learn this halacha of creating Tuma out of Safik from doubt, only from the source of the Allah of Saita, so then you have to continue clarifying all the parameters that we find by Saita, and that is Ma Saita, just like by Saita, where you're saying that she's going to be considered Tamei to her husband, to the Baal, to Truma, out of doubt. That's only in a Rishos HaYachid, in a private domain, in other words, a place which is fit for her to have had done Stira, meaning to have been secluded in private with this man, which is what created the halacha of a Saita Safik, which because she secluded with him. So therefore, Av Sheretz, so to the Tumah that we're saying that out of Safik it's going to be Tameh by a Sheretz, has to be in a Rishos HaYachid, in a private domain, meaning then we're going to say that the doubt is going to be, we'll judge it as Tumah. But in Rishos HaRabim, in the public domain, then the Safik actually is going to tell us that we're going to have a Chazakah of Tahar. Moreover, a second qualification, just like by the Saita, there is someone to ask and inquire, did you become Tamei or not? Now, she might not be telling us the truth, but there's someone to ask and to inquire about. So there is where we say that the Safik is going to be Tamei. Av Sheretz, so too the Safik Tamei of Sheretz, has to be Davar Sheyeshba. It has to be the thing that was touched, has to be something that has Das Lishal, that has knowledge to be asked and inquired if that person touched the sheretz or not. And he says, I don't know. So there's a qualification of suffix, but it has to be someone that could be asked. Either a person was touched, or even something else, something of Tyrus, where at least a person was involved with it at the time, that he could be asked, did this thing become Tamei? And he could say, I don't know. Mekan Amru, and therefore from here is where they said this concept. Dava sheish bedas lishal, something that has knowledge to be inquired about if it became Tamei or not, and b'shus ha'yachad, and it's a private domain, then is where the halacha tells us that sveikai tamei, then we're going to say that the doubt we will say and conclude that halachically it's considered tamei. But b'shus ha'rabim sveikai tar, if it's in the public domain, then actually the doubt we will qualify as tar. And moreover, v'shem b'das l'shal, if it's something that doesn't have knowledge to be inquired about, or again, if it's an object that wasn't being handled by a person at the time of the doubt, then bein b'shus ha'yachad, bein b'shus ha'rabim sveikai tar. Then whether in the private domain or in the public domain, either way, the suffix is going to be considered tahar. And this is what's the source for the well-known halacha regarding this halacha of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim is Tar, and Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid is considered Tameh. Now, the Gemara returns to this discussion of the Braisa and asks as follows. So again, we had this discussion three times that it says V'nitma'a, which according to Rabbi Kiva tells us Ech Labal, Ech Laboyel, Ech Latruma. And then there was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So ask the Gemara Rabbi Shmuel on Rabbi Kiva Truma. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Kiva said the words Ve'echad LaTruma. The third reference of Anitma tells us that the woman, this Saita, is forbidden to Truma now. U'mahardah le'ihu kuhuna. And what does Rabbi Shmuel respond to him? Something regarding kuhuna. He said, Inetzach mikra levi b'kuhuna. He says, no, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that the woman, this Saita, is forbidden to kuhuna. That the Gemara asks. But that's not what he said. Rabbi Kiva didn't make any. He didn't say you need a pasuk for kuhuna. Why is Rabbi Shmuel telling him? What do you mean? You don't need a pasuk for kuhuna. You know from a kavol chaimer. And who said Rabbi Kiva disagrees? Rabbi Kiva didn't say anything about that. Now, therefore, Vesu, moreover, the other question we have is that actually Rabbi Kiva, that actually doesn't reference kuhuna, doesn't say regarding this woman that the saita, if she's forbidden to kuhuna menale. Actually, where does Rabbi Kiva know that the saita is forbidden to kuhuna if her husband dies, meaning if her husband divorces her, obviously she's forbidden to kuhuna because her grusha is forbidden to any kind. But if her husband that she had an extramarital relationship with, when he dies, where does he know that she's forbidden to marry a kind? In other words, as Rashi explains, you cannot say that she's actually permitted to kuhuna because, like Rabbi Shmuel pointed out, if she's forbidden to truma, then of course she's forbidden to kuhuna because, as he said, a kal v'chaimer, you have certain women that are permitted in truma and still forbidden to kuhuna, like a grusha. For sure, here where she's forbidden in truma, for sure she's forbidden to kuhuna. Now, but you can't say that Rabbi Kiva knows it from Rabbi Shmuel's kal v'chaimer because then that's Rabbi Shmuel. So, and Rabbi Shmuel was contesting Rabbi Kiva. So, A, question number one is, what was Rabbi Shmuel responding to Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva didn't discuss this. Why are you arguing him? And moreover, where does Rabbi Kiva know this, that this saita is forbidden to kuhuna? Now, that says the Gemara of Achitem, and if you're going to say that kuhuna loit tzricha kra, that Rabbi Kiva didn't require a pasuk for the saita being forbidden to kuhuna because by default she's forbidden. Why? Why would she be by default be forbidden to kuhuna? As we continue, Tabach of Tesim and Aleph, shahari asa ba, because the pasuk equates by a saita that a suffix zayin is kezayna. A suspected woman that was mezana, as if she was definitely mezana. Whereas we find in the pasuk, as Rabbi Kiva brought, that she's forbidden to her husband. Why is she forbidden to her husband? Because she was mezana. If she wasn't mezana, then she's not. So we see the pasuk considers her as a suffix zayna, as a definite zayna. So therefore, the same thing is regarding kuhuna, that she's going to be forbidden to kuhuna, because the pasuk tells us zayna lo yikachu, a kind cannot marry a woman that was mezana. And this woman we see is considered in a chazak, in a presumptive state, as a zayna. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva doesn't require any psukim because she's a zayna. And we know that she's a zayna, even though it's a suffix, but we consider like a vade, from the fact that she's forbidden to her husband. On that, the Gemara asks, well, if that would be the case, well, then truma nami lo tibayikra. Well, then truma also should not need a pasuk at all, and we would be able to learn it out from the same logic. Because shari asa basavik zayna kizayna. You're saying you could learn out from the logic of her being forbidden to her husband, that although it's a doubt if she was mezana, but we see that it's like as if she was definitely mezana. Now, by truma, we know that a zayna, at least according to Rabbi Kiva for sure, that a zayna is forbidden to partake from truma. Because the pasuk tells us in Yikuch of Beis, says, Kisil ishzar, when a woman will be with a foreign man, meaning, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Yevamos, especially according to Rabbi Kiva, the word siya is actually referenced to having bia, not necessarily kedushin, has bia to any foreign man. So then the pasuk says, he betrumas hakadoshim loy toichel, that she's forbidden to partake from the holy truma. Now, there's no greater invalidation, no greater person that she's possible to, meaning to be considered ishzar, than when she's a married man and having be with a different man, not her husband. And that's exactly where Rabbi Kiva knows, again, as we said in Masechet Yevamos, Daf Samech Ches Amud Aleph, that all psulim, all men that are forbidden to this woman, will make her puzzle to partake from kudshim, to partake from truma from here on. So if you're already saying that the reason why Rabbi Kiva would not need a pasuk to say that she's forbidden to a kohen, because we consider her, quote, as a zayna lo yikachu, well then we would already know from this that she's like a zayna, that she's forbidden from the pasuk of a kasi lishzar, he betrumas hakachem leitoichel, and you wouldn't need an extra word vev menitma, which Rabbi Kiva does bring, to say that she's forbidden in truma. So El Rav the Gemara concludes as follows. Rabbi Kiva, actually according to Rabbi Kiva, Arba Kroy Ksiv. This actually, although we had mentioned before as if there's three psukim, Reb Kiva actually holds that there's four psukim. Now, there's really three psukim, but there's two times that it says nitma, nitma, and one time it says vinitma. Now, as we mentioned in the beginning of this daf, that Reb Kiva expounds the letter vav. So, therefore, that word vinitma is like it says two times nitma. So, you have four references. Chad labal, one is that she's forbidden to her husband. Chad labal, one is to the man that she had relations with. V'chad l'kuhuna, one is for kahuna, and v'chad l'truma, one is for truma. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, t'lasa korek, see, Rabbi Shmuel holds his only three psukim because he, like Rabbi, doesn't expound the extra letter vav, and therefore he holds chad l'bal, v'chad l'boil, v'chad l'truma, and regarding v'kuhuna, like he mentions in the brayso we quoted before, asti b'kavochayma, he learns of m'kavochayma from the gerusha, who if she's permitted in truma, yet she's forbidden in kahuna. So here where she's forbidden in Truma, because we know that from the third reference of Enitma, so for sure she's forbidden to Kuhuna. Now, this the Gemara asked, Rabbi Shmuel, according to this interpretation, Mimai di itzor krala Truma, who said that the third reference of Enitma comes to tell us that she's forbidden to partake of Truma, and v'kuhuna asa b'kavachem, and therefore he wanted to say, oh, so therefore if she's forbidden to Truma, all the more so she's forbidden to marry a Kayin, and that's how he knows all four halachas. Dilma ki yitzrich l'kuhuna, maybe the reference, the third reference of a nitma, again, he doesn't have four references because he doesn't dash above, comes to say that she's forbidden to marry into kuhuna. And that is, since it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that she's forbidden to partake of truma, I would say that actually she's not included in the prohibition of partaking of truma, but rather we are going to include that she's forbidden to kuhuna because that's the more stringent one. And actually, but Truma Sharia, maybe she's permitted in Truma. In other words, maybe she's exactly like the Grusha. The Grusha is forbidden to Kahuna, but permitted in Truma. So here where the Saita has a reference of a third inclusion of Tumah, so what's that for? Maybe actually it's only for Kahuna, not for Truma. How does he know it's a reference to Truma? And to learn out Kahuna from Kal Vachomer, maybe it's a reference to Kahuna. So Amalek Rabbi Shmuel would tell you that no. Mistaber, it's logical to say when the Pasuk is including the third reference of a Nitma, that's coming to include an Issa of Truma. Why? Because Dumia, it's comparable to the other two references of Nitma, which we include the Baal or Baal, which are the her prohibitions to the husband and to the Baal. Now, why and what would we be comparing the third Benitma to those two? To tell you, Ma Baal or Baal Michayim, just like the prohibition of the woman to her husband and the Baal is even when her husband is still alive. In other words, for example, like let's say if the husband divorces her, still she's forbidden to the Baal. So therefore says Rabbi Shmuel, the third pasuk, the third reference of the Nitma, would also be something to tell us that something that she's forbidden in even when her husband is still alive. And that is, Af Truma, that would be coming to include her to be prohibited in Truma, which is Nami Mechaim, which is even if the husband's still alive. Lafuke Kuhuna, that excludes her prohibition to kahuna, which is only de la'achar misa, that only is applicable after the husband dies. Meaning because if the husband's still alive, then obviously if she's still married, and for sure she's forbidden to anyone, but even if he divorces her, the reason why then she'll be forbidden to kahuna wouldn't be because of a reference of a nitma, it would be because she's a gerusha, and that's why she'd be forbidden to kahuna. So coming regard to the halach of saita, the only way that you would be including the halacha of kahuna would only be after the husband died. That's not similar to the other two drushas of nitma, which is baal and boil, which is even when the husband's still alive. So therefore, we'd rather say that the third reference of a nitma is also something when the husband's still alive, which would be that she's forbidden to truma, because if it would be telling you kahuna, it would be only after the husband's dead, and that wouldn't be similar to the other two drushas. And again, that's why he says the reference to truma, and he knows kahuna from a kal vachomer. But Rabbi Kiva the Gemara tells us that he does require a fourth pasuk, meaning the extra letter vav, to tell you also that she's forbidden to kahuna, and he doesn't know it from a kal vachomer like Rabbi Shmuel. It's because Dumi the Baal Boy Leslie, he doesn't hold that the third reference of a nitma has to be similar to the other two references of nitma of Baal and Boyle. And therefore, had we not had a fourth pasuk, meaning the, at least that extra vav, then actually we would only have included that she's forbidden to kahuna, which is the most stringent one. And again, the reason why Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Shmuel is because you don't have to say the third reference of a nitma is like the first two references of a nitma, because each one is its own unique drasha, and we don't have to say that the third nitma would be exactly like the first two. And therefore, rather, we would be saying that the third V'nitma would only be telling us that Shembinin to Kahuna, because that's the more obvious one, that's the more stringent one, and we'd be including that, not Truma. And that's why he needs a fourth reference to tell you that not only is Shembinin to Kahuna, but even to Truma. Or the Gemara says, actually, V'inam, and even if you're going to say that Islay, that he does hold of the logic that Rabbi Shmuel just said. And you're right, we would say that the third reference of a nitma would be telling us that she's forbidden to truma. Still, you need the extra vav to say that she's forbidden to kuhuna. Now, although, as Rabbi Shmuel pointed out in the Braisa, that, what do you mean? You don't need a pasig for kuhuna, because you know it from a kavochema, from Gerusha, who's permitted in truma and still forbidden to kuhuna. Here, where she's forbidden to truma, for sure she's forbidden to kuhuna. And that says the Gemara, still Rabbi Kiva would tell you, Milsa da'asu b'kavochaymer, something that we know from a logic, from a kavochaymer, Tarach v'kasla v'kra, that's a halacha brought many times in Shas, still the pasig went out of its way to refer to it in the pasig, and that's why Rabbi Kiva tells us that there's actually four references of the word v'nitma, ech labal, ve'ech laboyel, ve'ech l'truma, ve'ech l'kohuna. Again, Rabbi Kiva l'shitasa, according to his opinion, because he expounds the letters vav. Rabbi Shmuel, who doesn't, like Rabbi, expound the letter Vav, says there's only three references. There's Echel Abal, Echel Abayel, Echel Etruma, and Kuhuna, you know, from a Kal V'Chaymer, where, and even as the second Teretz the Gemara just gave, even if Rabbi Kiva agrees to the Kal V'Chaymer, still it's Tarach, V'Kasab L'Kra. But again, Rabbi Shmuel is of the logic that it's telling you Truma, not Kuhuna, which Rabbi Kiva would dispute, and that's why he needs a fourth reference, at least according to the first Teretz in the Gemara, is because he says that the third reference of a Nidma has to be like the first two, which is just like that Toma where the husband's still alive, and still she's forbidden to the Baal, and to the Baal, so to the third reference of a Nidma has to tell us something that she's forbidden to even when the husband's still alive, which would only be telling us a Chiddush in regards to Truma, and not regard to Halacha of Kuhuna.